Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Dave George of Prime. Dave, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, hi Donnie, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, Dave, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but to say the least, but there was no IWC this year, but I know Prime was still has a lot of new products. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Donnie. First of all, I'm about IWC as well, but I'm glad it's being rescheduled. I look forward to it. I've actually been going since, I think, 1979 or something, so I hate to miss one and ruin my record. But yeah, we had plans, as we always do for IWC. It's the show that we always use to introduce the bulk of our new products every year. In fact, we used to joke that if it wasn't for IWC, we'd never finish any of these projects. So it's good to have a deadline. So in terms of what we were going to talk about at IWC and introduce, we had a pretty nice selection of things. Let me start out with saying we really love the L3Harris and what they're doing these days, and we've been adding a lot of products to support them. We did a new connector for their XG200. We've added a panic function to a lot of our products that interfaces to the Harris radios. So we were going to show a full line at IWCE of wired and wireless products, including a Bluetooth lapel microphone kit that we had developed in partnership with the city of Austin, Texas. So we did a special one for the L3Harris radios for them. They did the field testing for us, and they approved it, and we put it into production. But it's a nice, really nice piece, which I think people are going to like. The other things that we introduced at IWC besides the Harris stuff is we showed a brand new, or we were going to show a brand new Bluetooth speaker microphone that we call the BTH-550. That's joining our existing line of Bluetooth speaker microphones, which was like the BTH-600 that we've had out there for a couple of years. We've just recently upgraded it, but it's our big heavy-duty one. But we had a lot of demands for something a little more lightweight, a little more reasonably priced. And the really interesting thing about the BTH-550, besides being smaller and less expensive, is it has a desktop drop-in charger, which is pretty nice. So instead of fumbling around with a wall charger and a USB cable and all that, you can just drop it in on your desktop and let her charge just like you would with a handheld radio.
Okay.
So we are offering the BTH-550 in kind of two versions. One we call a BTH-550 radio. It obviously is designed to work with two-way radios. It is compatible with all the new ICOM and Kenwood radios that have built-in Bluetooth, so you don't need any additional adapters or anything. It will work with those radios. It will also work with the Bendix King K and G series radios, and we're currently just finishing up doing the Tate version of it. The other version of the BTH-550 that we're going to introduce was the version for POC, or push-to-talk over cellular, which would be compatible with popular systems, including the Zello, Wave, Legacy Wave, or Wave Communicator, they call it, ES Chat, Voxer, and a few others similar to that. And we're going to do a third version of the BTH-550 later this year that would be compatible with the old Kodiak system, which has now been rebranded as Wave on Cloud. So looks like it's going to be a nice product, rotary volume control, so you can work it with gloves on. Dual pairing, so you can pair it to not only a cell phone, but also to other devices, so you can have control two things. So it's pretty cool. I think people will like the size. The 600 has been awesome, but it's a little too big and heavy for some customers.
Okay.
And another product we're going to show more versions of is what we call our Pico, our smart PTT. This is a wired PTT device for running push-to-talk over cellular apps. The newest version of it is kind of cool because we have the Apple-compatible Lightning connector on it. So you can use it with all the new Apple devices from the iPhone 7 up that have the Lightning connector, and the Smart PTT gets its power from the Apple devices, so you don't have to have a battery or a charger or anything. So that's a nice product. It's super popular since IWC. So I think there's a lot of Apple devices out there that need push to talk buttons.
Very true.
So then another new product we were going to show at IWCE, and actually I've been working hard on this all week, is an amplified speaker microphone. And the interesting thing about amplified speaker microphones, they're fairly new. A couple other manufacturers have them, but a lot of these new little radios, or the what they call network radios, that are really more like a cell phone but look like a radio, like the new Motorola TLK 100, is that they can't put out enough audio power to drive a normal speaker microphone. So you need to have a speaker microphone with an amplifier in it.
Okay.
So in the Moto Turbo SL300 is a similar radio, and I think Hytera has a couple of them as well. So it seems like there's a trend of new radios coming out that are smaller and lower cost, but they just can't run a speaker microphone. So you're going to have, in the future, we're going to see a lot of amplified speaker microphones. And of course, those need to address all the needs of the users. You know, they have to have batteries that will last a shift or two. They can't go dead in an hour. They got to be easy to charge. They got to have a way to tell you when they need the battery to be charged. They got to have a way to control the volume. So it's an interesting whole new line that we're going to see.
Okay. Well, so who uses those amplified speaker microphones? What are some of the best use cases?
Okay, so a good example might be, and this is a real life example. So we've had a couple of customers that are switching to the Motorola TLK 100, which is a network radio. It runs Wave on cloud, so it's really kind of like a POC app, but stuck in a case for a two way radio. So it looks like a two way radio. So really attractive product for some customers, like maybe warehouses or companies that have multiple locations. They don't, now that they have cellular coverage, they don't have to worry about having repeaters and all that kind of stuff. But some of those guys need a louder audio. They're running tow trucks or they're running delivery trucks or whatever, and these little radios just don't put out enough juice, you know, enough audio to hear it over the sound of the truck and all that. So they want a speaker microphone. Unfortunately, these radios don't have a powerful enough amplifier to drive a normal speaker microphone. So if you stick a normal speaker microphone on it, it sounds pretty bad. It sounds good, but it's just weak. It's just not very loud. So you've got to have an amplifier inside of the housing of the speaker microphone to boost the power up. So that's sort of interesting. You know, in some ways we joke about it that sometimes the accessories are getting more complicated than the radios.
Okay, well, I know we can't have that happen, but...
wait a minute, I'm in the accessory business. I think that's awesome.
For the user, it's got to be simple. For you guys, it may be complicated, but...
Maybe someday you'll see us say, you know, you get a free radio with every speaker microphone.
There we go. Well, so I always love talking with you because, you know, you see the LMRs... world and providing accessories there, and this push to talk over cellular LTE world, and I'm just kind of curious, what are you seeing right now in terms of the trends and growth potential in both of the sectors?
Well, I've talked to you about this before and many people, so it's probably not anything news if anybody's ever talked to me or read anything I've written, but I've been doing two-way radio since I graduated from university, and I took tube theory in university, so let me tell you, it was a while back. I still see more and more trending away from two-way radios into the POC type devices. I do think there'll always be a need for the two-way radios, but it's becoming more more vertical, more specific. They still, you know, they still have a very valuable role in the communications universe, but clearly the POC stuff is growing and growing all the time. And actually, I'd love to give you a quick example of a recent one, which I think kind of illustrates this point. We recently sold a lot of Bluetooth PTT buttons to the U-Haul company. In fact, there were many tens of thousands of them. And when we got curious on what they were doing with these, we found out that they were running smart devices in their rental locations, in their storage locations. And somebody in their IT department decided that it didn't make a lot of sense for them to continue to purchase and repair two-way radios when they already had devices that could do all the other stuff that they were doing in their stores that could just run a push-to-talk audio app. But the thing that they were missing is they just didn't have a way to remotely activate the talk function of that app, and they needed a PTT button. So the way I kind of look at it as a radio guy, I feel like they bought like close to 30,000 of these buttons, and that's probably 30,000 radios that they don't need anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So now, are you seeing a lot of convergence of LMR and LTE, and frankly, some LMR companies getting into push to talk over, if not cellular, CBRS or Wi-Fi?
I don't see that many on Wi-Fi. Everybody talks to me about Wi-Fi. I'm not a big fan of Wi-Fi, but but I do see. I mean, I think that the aforementioned TLK 100 from Motorola to me is a big deal, because Motorola has always been, you know, the major manufacturer in our industry, in the two-way radio industry, and so if they're embracing the push-to-talk over cellular type of product, that means, in my mind, that means that it's real and it's going to, you know, get more traction. Up until now, I mean, the other radio manufacturers were doing it a little bit, you know, and kind of playing around with it and trying to figure out exactly how they wanted to do it. There were a few folks who were bringing in, you know, essentially a Chinese radio, where somebody in China just bought a radio case and stuck a 4G board in it or something, and they were sticking their name on it. And those all worked, and they found their little niche. But what Motorola is doing now, you know, with the TLK 100, and I think others will follow suit, kind of legitimizes the whole idea. And I've always said that, you know, the thing that was missing, in my opinion, before was making a POC unit that worked just like a two-way radio. Mm-hmm. People just want to push the button, talk. They want to have a thing on the top that looks like a channel selector switch and a thing that looks like a volume control. They don't want a fancy touch screen, full color, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're going to hand it to one of their employees, and they want it to look and work just like a two-way radio. And the TLK does that.
Okay.
In fact, Bearcom is using TLK 100s in their rental fleet now, so I think that also shows that this thing's really going to get some traction. So, do not be surprised to see, you know, everyone else, Kenwood, ICOM, whoever, you know, all doing the same thing.
Okay, all right. And then in terms of push-to-talk over cellular, are you still seeing that have traction? I think... And in particular, are there any specific sectors of the economy where that, frankly, just makes more sense?
Well, I think that's still a very strong and continually growing market. Obviously, we have more competition now than we used to, because we were sort of an early adopter of that, and now other folks have jumped in. But we have not seen any real let off in that. But I'll repeat what I've said many times in the past to other folks, is that in my opinion, that what drives the POC thing in a pure cellular device type of market is not the talking, but it's the other apps that they're running on those devices. Mm-hmm. Talking becomes like a secondary function. The hotels are a great example. The big hotels that have adopted the push-to-talk over cellular type of systems started out by wanting to run some other kind of an app that makes their hotel operation work better. There's apps that are great for managing guest rooms. There's apps for managing casino machines. There's apps for managing food services. And those are all running on devices with screens like iPod touches or iPhones or Android phones. And they're all being run by the IT department of the organization. And so it becomes very natural for them to just add voice to those devices. And once they've decided to use those devices for voice communication, then they call us because each environment has its own sort of unique need for the user interface. You know, if it's noisy, they want a speaker microphone. If they need security, they want a lapel mic. If they want low cost, they want something wired. If they want something more convenient, they want wireless. But those are just those are just the sprinkles on the ice cream. You know, they have to decide they want the ice cream first. So
right. And from a management standpoint, you know, I would think it's a lot, you know, less trouble to have people download things, an app, and there's a lot less training as opposed to handing them a radio that in many cases they may have never seen before. And, you know, also from this, just the standpoint of, you know, having to track those radios and get them back at the end of the day. And, you know, so in many cases, the radio is a lot more expensive than what they might use as a device.
Well, I would agree with all of that, but to me, the underlying driver is the network.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, any modern facility has Wi-Fi everywhere. You can't, you would never stay at a hotel that didn't have Wi-Fi coverage all over the hotel. Mm-hmm. So they already have all of that investment in that infrastructure. They already have all that overhead of supporting that infrastructure. Why not use it for, you know, for logistic management as well? Why, you know, I mean, in the old days, if we were putting a two-way radios in a big casino or something, it was difficult. You know, there were a lot of dead spots in coverage. We were running leaky coax, you know, down the elevator shafts and through the ceilings and putting in bidirectional amplifiers all over the place. You know, nobody wants to mess with that. Not if you have the Wi-Fi there already. Same with like a big university campus or a public school. They're all wired. They all have networks. So, you know, we wouldn't buy cars if people didn't build roads, you know.
Well put. Well, Dave, it's always great to talk to you. Congratulations on all the new devices, and thank you again for your insights into the industry.
Well, thanks, Don. Again, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sorry I missed you in Vegas, but hopefully I'll see you in August.
You bet. We'll see you in August. Thanks a bunch, Dave.
Righto. Bye.